the southern steps, the place where the Jews would enter the temple, where they would go in through the Huldah gates to worship. It's here that Jesus is talking about where the abomination of desolation will stand in the holy place. In Matthew chapter 24, in the first 14 verses, he has talked about the time of the end. Now he's going to answer for them, what is the sign of your coming? The sign of the coming will be this time of tribulation such as has never been, will never be again. It is a sign that is marked by the beginning of the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place. In Matthew chapter 24, verse 15, it says, therefore, when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken of through Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. Then those who are in Judea must flee to the mountains. Whoever is on the housetop must not go down to get the things that are in the house. Whoever is in the field must not turn back to get his cloak. But woe to those that are pregnant and to those who are nursing babes in those days. But pray that your flight will not be in winter, nor on a Sabbath. Why? For then, when that abomination of desolation stands in the holy place, then there will be a great tribulation, such as has not occurred since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will. This abomination of desolation that stands in the holy place was told to us by Daniel the prophet. I want us to go to Daniel chapter 9. Daniel chapter 9. In Daniel chapter 9, we have the first mention of the abomination of desolation. In Daniel chapter 9, it's talking about the time when one will come and make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week. It's the final 7 years. And this is what it says. In the middle of the week, he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering. Now, what's going to be happening is the Jews are going to be going in and out of this temple. They're going to come to a rebuilt temple, and there they will be making sacrifices. There they will be making offerings. But in the middle of that week, after 3.5 years, because that's the middle of seven, it says that on the wing of abominations, he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering. And on the wing of abominations will come one who makes desolate, even until a complete destruction, one that is decreed, is poured out on the one who makes desolate. Now, here we don't have the word, the abomination of desolation, but here we have the word makes desolate. Now, let's go to Daniel chapter 11. In Daniel chapter 11, he's taking us to the times of Antiochus Epiphanes. And he's going to use Antiochus Epiphanes as a testimony of what is going to happen. Let me read it to you. Daniel chapter 11. In Daniel chapter 11, as I said, we're talking about Antiochus Epiphanes. And it says in verse 31 that forces from him will arise, desecrate the sanctuary fortress, and do away with the regular sacrifice. And they will set up the abomination of desolation. Now, the abomination of desolation in that time was the statue of Zeus that they took and they put in the Holy of Holies. They put that statue of Zeus. It was an abomination of desolation. This is not what Jesus is talking about in Matthew, but it is like a forerunner. It is like a picture of what is going to happen. So in Daniel chapter 12, then we have this abomination of desolation referred to in Daniel chapter 12 in verse 11. It says, from the time that the regular sacrifice is abolished. And the regular sacrifice, remember, is abolished in the middle of that last 7 years, in the middle of the week, leaving 3.5 years to follow. It's very important that you understand this. And this is what he says. From the time that the regular sacrifice is abolished, it says there, and the abomination of desolation is set up, there will be 1,290 days. Now, 1,260 days, according to Jewish reckoning, is 3.5 years. So this is an extra 30 days. But he's telling us how long it will be, how long that abomination of desolation will be standing in the holy place. Now let's go back to Matthew chapter 24. Follow me carefully, beloved, because I truly want you to understand what Jesus is telling them. He's telling them that when they see, in verse 15, the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. Well, we've seen there are three times that desolation is used, or two times when abomination of desolation is used. When you see him standing in the holy place, then they are to flee. They are to flee to the mountains. He's talking about the mountains of Judea. He's saying, pray that your flight be not in winter. Why? Because those mountains over there in the winter, all of a sudden they can be filled with water. The water comes crashing down in the winter because this is the time of winter rains. And it comes down flooding the wadis. And the wadis are where they would be walking. The wadis are those dry places between the mountains where you see the vegetation. And so he says, pray that your flight be not in the winter. He says, pray that it's not when you're pregnant. Woe to those that are with child. Woe to those that are nursing babes. And pray that it's not on the Sabbath. Why? Because Orthodox Jews will only walk a certain distance on the Sabbath. You can go through the Jewish neighborhoods here, and you can see wires up marking the distance that they can walk on a Sabbath so they don't break the law. He says all of this is going to come about because for then, verse 21, for then there will be a great tribulation such as has not occurred since the beginning of the world, nor ever will. This is a time like the world has not seen. This is a time, beloved, that is worse than the Holocaust. Listen to what he says in verse 22. Unless those days had been cut short, no life would have been saved. That's how bad it is. But for the sake of the elect, for the sake of those chosen Jews, for the sake of those that are going to believe on Jesus Christ as their Messiah, those days will be cut short. Because it's going to be such a horrific time. Now, it's so important at this point, beloved, to compare Scripture with Scripture. So what I want us to do is I want us to look at three places where this is repeated in the Word of God besides in Matthew. And once again, I want to take you back to Daniel chapter 12. In Daniel chapter 12, and it's talking about the final period of the king, the final ruler. And as it talks about that final period, and that begins in Daniel 11, verse 36, and moves all the way into Daniel 12, it tells us in Daniel 11 that this final ruler, that this man of lawlessness, that this abomination of desolation that is set up by this man, that he will pitch the tents of his royal pavilion between the seas and the beautiful holy mountain, between the Mediterranean Sea and the Dead Sea. Yet he will come to his end, and no one will help him. It says, now at that time, Michael, the great prince, who stands guard over the sons of your people, will arise, and there will be a time of distress. Listen carefully. This is the verse, a time of distress such has never occurred since there was a nation until that time. At that time, your people everyone who was found written in the book will be rescued. Now, who are those people? Well, those are the elect, for which the time will be cut short. So as we listen to this, and even maybe in the background, you're hearing the Muslim call to prayer. Remember that this is the final Holocaust, the final time when all the nations will pour out their wrath against this city and against this place. This is the time when the ruler of the world that rules the whole earth, as Daniel chapter 7 says, and brings the whole world under his subjection. This is the time when all the venom of all the ages of those that hate God will be poured out on God's people. This is the time that Revelation 12 is talking about, when the woman, Israel, will flee into the wilderness to a place prepared for her. It all fits. It's taking all the scriptures, beloved, and putting them all together. And Jesus is doing this teaching based on what Daniel says and based on everything that is going to happen. Well, the next place that I want you to look at is Joel chapter 2. In Joel chapter 2, in verse 2, he talks about this time. And when he talks about this time, he's telling us that this is the day of the Lord. Joel 2, verse 2. A day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, as the dawn is spread over the mountains. We'll look at it when I come back.
We are on the air because of friends who give generously to this ministry. Our financial partners at every level provide the faithful, ongoing support we need to touch thousands of lives every single day. To partner with us, visit preceptsforlife.com today. Your much-needed gift will help us reach the world with the Word of God.
Welcome to Precept Ministries International. We're at our women's conference, and we have been studying Ready today for what is coming tomorrow. And we have had a great, great time. We have had such incredible, incredible fellowship. But that fellowship has been around the Word of God. Because when you come here, what you do is you open the book. And we take you through a book of the Bible, or we take you through a topic, but you're looking at the Word of God. We have seminars to meet all your needs, but the fellowship that goes on around the tables, the prayer times, the singing, it's awesome. We wish that you were here. Why don't you come and join us at our next women's conference? Sitting by the Huldah gates, where the Jews would come and go in and out of the temple. As I sit here, we're talking about the Great Tribulation, a time such as never been and never will be again. We saw the scripture in Daniel chapter 12. We were looking at Joel chapter 2. And I want us to return to Joel, because what I want us to do is I want us to see in Joel chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, what Jesus says about this time. Blow a trumpet in Zion. Blow a trumpet, and he's talking about Jerusalem. And sound an alarm on my holy mountain. Jerusalem is God's holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the earth tremble, tremble. For the day of the Lord is coming. Surely it is near. What is that day like? It is a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and thick darkness, as the dawn is spread over the mountains. So there is a great and mighty people. There has never been anything like it. This day of darkness, this day of gloom, this day of clouds, this day of the Lord. There is nothing like it, nor will there be again after it, to the years of many generations. So this is the second place that he mentions this. The third place is Mark chapter 13, verse 19. And I'm not going to go there because it is the very same word for word what Jesus says in Matthew chapter 24. But I want to take you to one other place. I want us to go to Jeremiah the prophet, to Jeremiah chapter 30. In Jeremiah chapter 30, in verse 5, it says, "For thus says the Lord, I have heard a sound of terror, of dread, and there is no peace. Ask now and see, can a male give birth?" That man is sitting there. He is down on his haunches, so to speak. He's got his knees grabbed and he's wailing and he's groaning like a woman in position of a childbirth. And this is what it says. "Can a man give birth? Why do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in childbirth? Why have all faces turned pale? Alas, for the day is great." And listen to what he says. "There is none like it. It is the time of Jacob's distress, but he will be saved out of it. It is the time of Jacob's distress, but he will be saved out of it." Now let's go back to Matthew chapter 24. This time of Jacob's distress is the time of tribulation such as has never been nor ever will be after it. It is the time that has been prophesied and it is going to come to pass. Now listen to me very carefully. This has not happened yet. This scripture is not fulfilled. It is yet to come to pass. And when you look at prophecy, every detail has to be in place. Otherwise, it's not the time. It may look like it, but it's not the time. In verse 23, he says, "Then if anyone says to you, 'Behold, here's the Christ,' or 'There he is,' do not believe him." Even if they would say, "Go through the holy gates, go through the gates, there's the Christ." He says, "Do not believe him." He says, "For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will show great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told you in advance." He's saying, "I'm telling you what is going to come to pass." Now, did this come to pass during the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD? Oh, no. Oh, no. And it didn't come to pass because what I'm about to read you did not happen. Listen to what it says. "So if they say to you, 'Behold, he's in the wilderness,' do not go out. Or, 'Behold, he's in the inner rooms,' do not believe them. For just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes even to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. Wherever the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. But immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in his glory, coming on the clouds of the sky with power and great glory. And when he comes, what will he do?" It says, "And he will send forth his angels and with a great trumpet, and they will gather together his elect, even from the four winds, from one end of the sky to the other." This is the coming of the Son of Man. Now remember in Matthew 24, when he was pointing out the stones and the walls and on the temple, and he was saying, "There's a day coming when not one stone will be left upon another." Remember, he left there. He went and he sat on the Mount of Olives. And when he sat on the Mount of Olives, this is what they asked him. "Tell us, When will these things happen? What will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? So what he did was, up to verse 14, he gave him an overview of the sign of the end of the age. So he gives him an overview of the sign of the end of the age. And then he tells him about the sign of his coming. Now let's go over it. Let's review it, because I don't want you to miss it. The sign that he is about to come is when they take the abomination of desolation and put it in the holy place. When you see the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place, then you know the time has come. There is going to be a great tribulation such as has never been nor ever will be. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he talks about this time. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he talks about the man of lawlessness who is going to be revealed. And when that man of lawlessness is revealed, he takes his seat. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and let me read it to you. It says that let no one in any way deceive you. If the day of the Lord will not come unless the apostasy comes first and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the son of destruction, who opposes and exalts himself above every so-called God or object of worship, so that he takes his seat in the temple of God, displaying himself as being God. Now that's the abomination of desolation, standing in the holy place. This man walks into the temple. He walks into the holy of holies. He has forbidden sacrifice. He has forbidden grain offering. Why? Because he is displaying himself as being God, and he doesn't want the Jews sacrificing to another God. He doesn't want their giving grain offerings to another God. So he abolishes the sacrifices. When he abolishes the sacrifices, he goes and he takes a seat in the temple, and he proclaims that he is God. This is the time, beloved, when you study Revelation, of the mark of the beast. This is the time when people won't be able to buy or sell unless they receive the mark of the beast. This is the time of a tribulation such as has never been nor will ever be after that. This is a time that is yet to come, and it looks like things are getting ready. Look up. Your redemption draws nigh. Hi, I'm Kay Arthur with Precept Ministries International, and it's wonderful to have you here in our home. I wish you could be here physically, but I've got another suggestion. Why don't you go to Israel with us? Israel is my favorite thing to do. I feel like it's not a vacation, it's not a luxury, it's an investment that will absolutely change your life. And you know what? It is a blast. People say, this trip is so much fun. I learn so much, but I laugh and I share and we have time together. So many memories and such sweet fellowship. Laughter, fun, prayers, tears, sharing. It's wonderful. But the best thing is studying His Word where it happened. As I sit here in Jerusalem, at the entrance to the temple, what is God's word to you today? To you who are living at this time? To you who are living before this time of great tribulation? In Revelation chapter 3, verse 10, this is what he says, because you have kept the word of my perseverance. In other words, because you have remained steadfast in your faith, I will also keep you from the hour of testing. Now listen carefully. That hour which is about to come upon the whole world to test those who dwell upon the earth. Now, What happens? Well, when we go back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, he says at the beginning of this passage, he says, "Now we request you, brethren, with regard to the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him." He's saying, don't be shaken, because they had gotten some kind of a message from someone that said the day of the Lord had come. And he says, let no one in any way deceive you. It will not come unless the apostasy comes first, the departure from the faith, which we've talked about, and the man of lawlessness is revealed. Well, he taught him in 1 Thessalonians that he was going to leave the heavens. He was going to catch them up to meet him in the Lord. And then we would be with the Lord. And then when he comes in his power and his glory, as the lightning comes from the east to the west, we will be with him. Just remember, beloved, your redemption draws near. So what are you to do? You are to purify yourself even as he is pure. Be ready. Be ready. Walk in obedience to him. Love him with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your body, and your spirit. And you'll be ready.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To download your free copy of the study guide or to find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.
45 years ago, Precept Ministries was born in a little valley in Tennessee, in a barn actually. Since then, it has grown and crossed oceans and borders to 180 countries and over 70 languages. But many people still don't know, what is Precept? Precept Ministries International is a network of people who see the Word of God as essential for knowing, loving, and following Him in daily life. Precept writes Bible studies using an inductive study method so that people can discover the truth of God's Word for themselves, rather than just reading or listening to someone else's thoughts and interpretations. That sounds great if you have the time, right? That's the hard part. The clock running away from us and an endless to-do list. If we let it, not having enough time for the things that matter will define our lives. Precept Ministries wants to walk differently with you, pointing you to Jesus continually. Our mission is for people to be established in God's Word. Precept is for the 9-to-5 workers, the 8-to-3 students, and the 24/7 parents. It's for the people with questions. It's for disciple makers. It's for the church and the community. It's for you.